when the pieces string around. Everybody wants to rock to when the pieces string around. Throw the crib door wide, let the people crawl inside. Someone in this town is trying to burn the playhouse down. They want to stop the ones who want to rock to when string around. But everybody wants to rock to when the pieces string around. Throw the crib door wide.
And you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, Brian Kilby here with you, I think. If my brain can catch up with where I'm at right now. On the show this week, we have the ATT Buzz by John DeLuna. We have Transformers websites that don't suck, or the great Transformers websites. But I like saying sites that don't suck, because it has that nice punch to it. And we also have a long rant and rambling of myself on the Robots in Disguise toys that I picked up a couple of weeks ago. And really, I don't have anything to talk about up front, because I have a headache right now. So, we're just going to start things off this week with the ATT Buzz by John DeLuna.
I've never seen anything this beautiful in the entire galaxy. All right, give me the bomb.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and I'm back from BotCon, 10 pounds heavier from all the food that I ate. I think I'm one of the few people at BotCon who doesn't weigh 300 pounds and gets away with eating three meals a day at BotCon. And I'm a little lighter in the wallet, although not as bad as I expected, which is good and bad. Good because I have more money. Bad because it's kind of disappointing when you walk away from BotCon without a truckload of toys like it seems everybody else does. But let's break down BotCon, at least how I saw it. I thought it was better than last year. It's only been my second BotCon, but this year seemed better, just overall. Everything seemed more solid, more controlled. Last year, BotCon 2000 seemed too big for its own good, quite frankly. Even 3H probably admits this to themselves, if not publicly, that BotCon 2000 was out of control, really. I mean, the facilities were great. It was a perfect setup. Fort Wayne is awesome. Fort Wayne rocks. It's the perfect setup for a convention with that size attendance, but last year it was just too much stuff for the staff to handle. 24-hour video rooms, that takes up your staff, that takes up your time, and really it's not worth it overall, I don't think. Everything was spaced out a little bit more than it was this year, so again, the control is harder. It was just ragged. This year, for better or for worse, the whole thing seemed tied down. It seemed pulled back. They weren't giving it their all. They weren't straining every muscle they could to make it as big a spectacle as it could be. Last year they seemed to do that. This year they didn't. This year they took what they had in the facilities and they just made a solid show. It was up to you to take advantage of it. And I'm quite happy the way it turned out. All the dealer rooms, all the panel rooms, the video room that wasn't 24 hours, thank God, this year. All of that was in a tight, neat row with access by the same hall. And that was great. That made jumping from one event to the other fast and hassle-free. You didn't have to climb stairs. You didn't have to scale mountains like last year. Everything was right there. And it worked out fine. Now, let's break down what happened. Some of the more noteworthy things of last weekend. One by one. First, we'll start with the voice actors, the panels in general, and maybe some of the news that came out of BotCon. As always, a tremendous showing by the guests. Everybody was well-behaved and professional, nice. The G1 voice actors, Berger, Bell, Stevenson, nice guys. Beast Wars was represented by McNeil and Chalk. Very nice. Two guys that love what they're doing. Also, it's kind of interesting that Canadian and American voice actors kind of have an animosity because they, well, they take business from each other, and that's understood. Those damn Canadians. I'm not being down on Canadians. I'm just patriotic, and I love Ocean Group, but if they relocated from Vancouver to Dallas, I wouldn't complain. I'm just looking out for number one with the American voice actors. Although Ocean does a great group, does great stuff, good work. But, you know, hey, that's just American preference. And really, there shouldn't be any competition between these guys. I mean, jobs are jobs. The way animation and the voice work has boomed over the last few years, there's going to be plenty of jobs. And good work is good work. You know, I'm sure that's how they look at it. They just do the best they can. They just put out the best stuff, the best product that they can. And people are going to come knocking, asking you to do more. Next, the exclusives. And the more I think about them, honestly, the less I like them. Tigatron and RC, they're nice. It's a nice thought. It's a fanboyish gesture, just like basically everything else that was a BotCon exclusive seemed to reek of this year, for good or for bad. It was just for the fanboys. And it worked, obviously. It got a standing ovation at the dinner, which had me in awe. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't clap. I couldn't stand up. I just looked around and looked at all the fans making the loudest, most uproarious ovation, standing ovation that they could possibly muster. It was amazing. And Glenn Hallett, when he showed off RC, he knew what he was going to get. He knew he was going to get that kind of reaction. He milked it for all it was worth. He had a smile on his face that you wouldn't believe, and heck, I would too. I mean, no matter what, if they're clapping for you or the piece of plastic that's in your hand, doesn't matter. You're getting some serious love. And he got it from the fanboys. But me, I can't say I like it. Honestly, Tigatron and RC, you know, they just leave me flat. First of all, I have both those toys, but that really doesn't matter. I think what matters most to me is the fact that I can always look to BotCon exclusives as classy, nice repaints with very well thought out, provocative, new characterizations. These two have neither. To me, they don't. Really, the Tigatron mold looks better in Ravage colors by far to me, if only because the mold is actually made for Beast Wars Ravage. I mean, it is Beast Wars Ravage. And the white and the teal, the light, very light hues of green. I mean, yeah, they're Tigatron colors. Yeah, in and of themselves, they're pretty, but they don't really look that great on that toy to me. And all that white, I'm not a fan of. I've never been a fan, really, honestly, of white, light, opaque plastic like Tigatron has as a base color. It just comes off as knockoffish to me, kind of cheap, kind of light feeling. It just doesn't feel sturdy. It doesn't feel right. The same almost goes for RC. The toy mold is mediocre to me. I was never impressed with Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia. First of all, her karate kick gimmick pretty much cripples the toy. I don't like the way it just hinders everything in her lower body. It makes her harder to stand, although I hear that RC stands a lot better in robot mode than Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia ever did through tighter joints and whatnot. Also, the fact that her breastplate was remolded screams another fanboyish gesture, but that's all right. That's kind of a decent remold in that it does make her look, I guess, slightly different in some way. It's very subtle, but it's fair. It's different. It's a remold, which in and of itself tells you how far 3H has come with Hasbro's relationship. Also, the color scheme on RC, I can't say I like, because it's just like Tigatron. Too much white. Too much opaque white. It's not a solid white. Like CNG1, they had base white characters that I really liked, like Metroplex. But that's only because the hard, solid plastic that was white wasn't translucent in any way. It's solid. It's right there. It's thick. It's white. It screams white. It doesn't look like it's made out of soft Play-Doh-y plastic. Not plasticky plastic. It looks a lot more rigid. It looks a lot more attractive to me. RC and Tigatron have that cheap white feel. And, you know, one of them, Tigatron, has a great mold that I don't like in those new colors with that old slash new characterization. And RC, I really don't like. I can't say I really like her at all. I mean, I like the character. To be honest, I'm one of the few people that like RC, because the only exposure I've really had to her is in the movie, and she's harmless enough in the movie. She's got a pretty nice design to me, to my eye, and she seems harmless. But not as a BotCon exclusive toy. I don't want rehashes of G1 characters. I can let Hasbro recycle names and put subtle hints in their tech specs all they want, and I'm fine with that. But for the price tag, basically what I got out of the BotCon toys was boring repaints of characters I already know in packaging that made them expensive. It really wasn't the toys themselves that made the BotCon exclusives so expensive this year. It was the packaging, and that's another problem I have with BotCon exclusives. It seems like the focus is turning away from the actual toy, the actual tactile product, the thing that you actually come to open the box, play with, enjoy, and display. The focus is getting away from that. It's getting more towards the tech specs, which is fine if it's a new tech spec and a new characterization, which this year it wasn't. And also, the money seems to be going into fancy, fancy packaging. And never was that more... Because Tigatron, a deluxe, got a fancy box with a flip top, which is a beautiful piece of packaging. I mean, it's a gorgeous piece of artwork, yes. But I can't imagine how much that alone drove the price up. That's by far the most expensive part of the whole deal, let alone RC and her talking voice chip in her nice, fancy, beautiful, gorgeous box. I fully admit, I mean, these two packagings are just works of art. They're great. They're tremendous. But they're not worth the price, in my opinion, that they take on your wallet. I mean, my RC has a voice chip. Great. She talks not as much as other people complain. Some people complain that it talks incessantly, without end, and that the fact that, hey, you know, the voice chip's got 1,200 bytes in it, so at this rate, all your voice chips are going to be burned out by Wednesday. Doesn't matter. To me, I've only heard mine talk maybe three times when I didn't want it to, when I didn't just flip open the flap for the express purpose of listening to the voice chip. Which is a nice gesture, but again, you know, I come to BotCon for the enjoyment, and one of the enjoyments is new exclusive toys. I don't really come with the express purpose or with the intent, or I don't get a lot of enjoyment when I come to BotCon and find that my two exclusives are fancy, talking, packaging, oh, and a toy thrown in. It doesn't seem like the focus is where I'd like it to be. I'd like it to be on the toys. If I can get a Cyclonus repaint of an Ultra Jetstorm, I'll take it in a brown paper bag with a Decepticon logo drawn on it in crayon. Anything. I mean, I'll take that kind of sacrifice. Packaging really doesn't mean too much to me next to the toy itself. And now to wrap up the buzz, a few random tidbits from BotCon. First of all, the dealer rooms. The dealer rooms were great this year. I only picked up Blast Punch Primal and Combat Hero Optimus Prime as far as my haul goes, which is pretty weak by standards. But for everybody else who is looking for Japanese stuff, G2 stuff, and really, really looking hard to find some great deals, because this year there were just way too many dealers for the level of demand at BotCon this year. Way too many. Case in point, when the dealer rooms opened an hour late on Saturday morning, but I digress. I shouldn't be mad, but they did open an hour late. It wasn't the end of the world, but it's still quite frustrating. And from what I hear, one of the two major gaffes that the hotel had. The other was the pasta entree at the dinner didn't have any pasta on it. It was just a big honking portobello mushroom. But, like I was saying, on Saturday morning, when the dealer rooms opened, everybody except WYSIWYG, the dealers, had a bunch of Brave Maximus toys. There were a ton of those, or at least, I would say, 50 Brave Maximus toys in the dealer room. Probably a lot more than that. 50, but that's enough for something that big. Everybody except WYSIWYG had theirs priced at, at least $140, sometimes up to $170. Well, WYSIWYG had it for $120, and they were selling like hotcakes. So, within 20 minutes of the dealer room opening, everybody in the entire room slashed their price to $120. It only took 20 minutes for people to start cutting up to $50 off their Brave Maximus toys just to compete. And it was hasty, too. You could see all over the dealer room price tags that said $150, $160, and they were just blatantly written over or crossed out, and hastily written under it was $120, $120. Take it or leave it. WYSIWYG was great at that. Also, Big Bad Toy Store. They were overstocked. I think they'll admit that. They brought way too much stuff. They took up an entire wall of the BotCon main dealer room. Tons of stuff. Probably at least two times as much stock as anybody else in the entire dealer room. Maybe three times as much stock. Tons of Gundams. All sorts of stuff. Nice stuff. It's just not worth it taking that much crap. Only half your store to BotCon. But they did get $20 from me for Blast Punch Primal. And they had a ton of those, and they sold those out in like 20 minutes. I mean, they had at least 30 of those things, and they were gone. Also, some interesting toy news came out of BotCon, like Supreme Optimus Primal. It looks like no extra information has come out about him, although we got to see a prototype at one of the dealer tables. That was kind of fun. Also, an Animorph prototype, which was interesting because whether you like Animorphs or not, Icebird and the Mutants definitely were going to be Animorphs. But everybody knew that already. It was just kind of nice to see one or two of them on an Animorph card and a prototype of Icebird with a human head and ripped clothes and all sorts of goodness. Kind of interesting. Kind of nice. Also, there was a Unicron prototype, the ugly one, i.e. the one that's not Beast Wars Neo, which rocks. The ugly one that's colored in blue and yellow, and that's it. And it's basically a bowling ball with legs and arms. Was priced at $12,000 in one of the dealer rooms. And the bad part about that is they either took it down, that dealer, because they didn't want people taking pictures of it, and they probably got tired of telling people that, and even with a sign that said no pictures taken. Either they took it down, or somebody bought the fat sucker, because he was gone. He was gone on Saturday, if I believe. He was definitely gone most, if not all, of Sunday. He wasn't there. For $12,000, somebody bought him. That's sad on so many levels, but I don't know. Even that blows my mind. I thought that $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 is as high as any Transformer would ever go, ever, no matter what it was. I guess I was wrong. Personally, I think if that thing sold for $12,000, the Unicron for Beast Wars would sell for $10,000 at least. That's scary. Oh, and finally, the blue Transformer 2 Megatron is coming out as a new character, which I must say I like 1,000 times more. I would have bought the blue Megatron anyway, but now that he's going under a new name, Cryotech, and he's going to apparently, supposedly, hopefully get a new tech spec and story to go with that new name. That makes him 1,000 times more attractive to me. Also, like I said before, AirTag Supreme Optimus Primal is going to come out most likely, I would think, as a Toys R Us exclusive. That's what Ben Yee's saying, so we'll see if that pans out. Also, the Green Ramulus, if you don't already know, has come and gone. That's right. He's over and done with. He's a piece of history. He was a production toy. Stress the word was. He was a production toy. He was released in very, very small quantities. We're talking about, I don't know, 10, 20, 30, if that. Green Ramuluses, they went to toy stores, apparently. And they were bought by kiddies, like they're supposed to be. And the only reason we even know it exists is because apparently one collector bought one. He got lucky. He really got lucky. He really won the lottery when he saw that one. Green Ramulus was released. Then Hasbro decided that the purple and magenta and gray final color scheme that we all know about and have, except for one of us, looks better, I guess. And they went with that for the real release, the real release in mass quantities. And so Green and Blue Ramulus is a thing of the past. He's over and done with. He's like a very, very small released black Transmetal 2 Prowl, if you want some kind of a reference point. He was released unannounced, and he left unannounced. He just happened. And it was a blink of an eye, and by pure fortune, we know it exists. And also, one of the more heartbreaking news as far as the toys go came from the 3H panel at the end of BotCon. Megabolt Megatron, which rocks. If you haven't seen the pictures in a while, go back and look at BWTF.com, Ben Yee's site. Look up those pics. They rock. That toy is great. But the sad thing is, we have no news about it. And it's still up in the air. And you know, as time passes, the more time that goes by, the less and less likely we'll see that toy in any kind of form. It's still up in the air whether that will be released or not. God, I hope it does, because we learned what its gimmick was. In head mode, you rolled it along, and its legs wibbled and wobbled like G1 Scorponok, you know, kind of like a fake walking deal. And the best part is, his mouth jabbered like those walking teeth you see. That rocks. Moving legs, chomping mouth. That toy is great. It deserves to be released. And that's the ATT Buzz. That's it for BotCon 2001. I thought it was a solid show. It gets a little better every year, and I think if everything holds steady, I think 3H has found a good groove. They've found the size of the venue that best accommodates this size con. They've got a good handle on this size of an attendance. Everything seemed right this year, and so here's hoping that next year will follow suit. That's the ATT Buzz. I'm John DeLuna.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the best in Transformers on the Internet.
Okay, and thank you there, John. Coming up now is my little review rant thing on Robots in Disguise.
Radio Free Cybertron, the only radio show where you'll hear me say, I'm not wearing any pants.
Okay, basically, the week before BotCon, I ended up finding most of the Robots in Disguise line. The only thing I'm missing are Megatron, I think Magnus is out, and Optimus Prime, and Spy Changers. I don't have the Spy Changers. But I do have Prowl, Sideburn, Expron, the Transmetal 2 repaint 3-pack, and Skybite. Now, I'm basically going to loosely go over these and give you my opinions and compare and contrast to what I have of the other, of the originals. Well, as far as plastic quality goes on Expron, who is the only toy that I had the Japanese original of, who was Wild Ride, the plastic quality for me compared to Super Wild Ride, who I had, is actually better. With Super Wild Ride, I was afraid that I was going to break the plastic. It was so stiff when I was transforming the toy. Okay, now I can transform Expron, who has a softer grade of plastic, without worrying about breaking the toy. It's not a lower grade of plastic, it's a softer grade. And it just makes transforming the toy a lot better. As far as the cars go, Expron, they all have nice car modes. I mean, you can't take that away from them. They all look nice. The paint jobs are decent. And, you know, they're cars. You know, you may like that. Some people go crazy over the rubber wheels. I could care less about rubber. Rubber melts. I've learned that with my Transformers decoys. They would stick to my shelf, and I'm not crazy about that. But the rubber on the wheels here, you know, they feel nice when you're rolling it on the floor, table, or whatever. Gives it a nice grip. But plastic wheels, to me, are a little better because, A, it's harder to lose them. How many of you have a loose diaclone style, I'll say, G1 cars that are missing tires? Lots of you are, probably. You don't lose plastic tires, and if you do, the toy is broken. It's like, hey, that toy is broken. Sure, it's easier to fix and find rubber wheels and tires. But to me, plastic lasts longer. It's better. It's more durable. But, oh well. As far as the robot modes go on the Car Brothers, they fluctuate from, you know, to... basically, X-Brien's robot mode is okay. It's kind of spindly and sickly, but he has that huge forearm, which is pretty cool. But I would say, while some people like Sideburns the best, I still say that X-Brien's robot mode is the best of the three. It's kind of anorexic and, I don't know, kind of weak, but it's better than nothing. Sideburns robot mode is the closest to being sort of a symmetric type of transformer, which we're used to. Not always used to, but it's just better balanced, and it looks better, really, than the other two. Otherwise, you know, it's nothing special. Prowl's robot mode is worse than nothing. I'd rather it just be a car. I hate Prowl's robot mode. I always have. When he was Mach Alert, I hated it, and I still do. I hate it. It's horrible. It's horrible. I mean, I would rather have the original Transformers Diaclone robot modes, which were little statues that did nothing, than these. I don't like these. I prefer the Beast Wars technology in toys, but I think they're horribly, horribly implemented in the Car Brothers. They're horrible. I hate them. I hate the robot modes. I just do. I hate them. Terribly. They're nothing special. You know, the next toys I'm going to go over have generally good robot modes. And they're beasts. It's not that they can't do good robot modes with cars using Beast Wars technology. It's that they don't. And hopefully whatever they do in 2002 will be better, because I'm just not crazy about Robots in Disguise / Car Robots. The Car Brothers, anyway. The other toys that I picked up were the Transmetal 2 3-pack, which I'll disclose were three of my favorite toys ever when they were the Transmetal 2s. And I'm somewhat disappointed with their Robots in Disguise incarnations. Because while they retain the beautiful paint jobs, especially Gas Skunk, who's basically Transmetal 2 Stink Bomb's colors, but with just these beautiful highlights all over him. It's just beautiful paint job. But the plastic quality is very soft. I don't know if it's a really low-grade plastic, but it's a soft-grade plastic. And while that works wonders for the Car Brothers, it makes the Transmetal 2 repaints, the Predacon toys, makes them fall apart. They're weak. And the joints, like the back joint for Gas Skunk, it just feels weak, and it feels like a knockoff. I don't like that. You know, the paint job on them are nice. I mean, I'm not going to lie and say they're bad, but the plastic quality really hurts it for me. Like I said, the paint job on Gas Skunk / Transmetal 2 Stink Bomb is really nice, beautiful. Basically, they changed a little bit and added highlights on the rest of the toy. It's just wonderful. Night Glider / what are they calling him? Oh, Dark Scream. I don't like the color on that. I prefer the Optimal Optimus Junior color scheme on Night Glider. He also suffers from the cheap pork plastic, but he looks nice, I guess. He's blue. He kind of looks like he's cold. You know, nothing special. He has that sort of off-white gray with blue highlights all over him. Really, I'd say he's average at best. And the thing that bothers me the most, Transmetal 2 Spitor is one of my all-time favorite toys. It's just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful toy. The paint job, I was hoping that they would improve the paint job. So, you know, with Slapper, who I will still call Wartoad. But really they didn't. The paint job is comparable to the original, and in some places, I'd say weaker. The shoulder pad back of the frog thing that had the nice little stripes and highlights on Spitor is basically gone with Slapper / Wartoad. Other than that, it's basically you know, it's not as elaborate as the paint job on Gasskunk. Looking over it, you know, it looks nice, but it doesn't look any better than Spitor did. Like I said, Spitor ruled. Spitor was awesome. They did add some detail, but, you know, the black and red, that's nice, but the blue and green is just utterly beautiful on Spitor. He's just such a great toy. I'm going to hold off on the review until after I'm done with the last toy, which so far is the gem of Robots in Disguise, and that is Skybite. Now, he is a repaint of Transmetal 2 Cybershark. Now, Cybershark was a mediocre toy, and you can still get him at KB on clearance for $8. And I think they have a 2-for-1 deal or something, so that you can get 2 for $8. But really, wow, Skybite is such a, you know, a much better toy. The plastic quality on it is better. It's it stands. I have problems getting my Cybershark to stand, and I have the corrected version of the toy, which the only difference is his arm was weaker. In the original version had a weak arm, and the feet were sort of, you know, not very stiff, and he would fall. But Cybershark, or Skybite, is beautiful. The color scheme is just amazing, and the amount of detail that they went in and added to the paint job, just wow. I mean, I never thought they could do anything to this toy to make me like it, but it's amazing what they did. It's beautiful. And I really congratulate Takara for showing, you know, that they can do great repaints, and they do. I mean, they generally take a toy that we had and do a much better job with the paint, and that's Takara's biggest strength. It's not in designing toys, because really the Takara design stuff, I'm not crazy about. The stuff that Hasbro designs and Takara creates, you know, that's the stuff. But wow, Skybite is beautiful. The color, the yellows and the purples and the whites, it's just blends together and it's just amazing. Really, I can't say anything other than wow. He's just really nice. If I had to review the toys, I'm going to review the Carr Brothers together, and I'm going to give them a 5 out of 10, because while they have great, great car modes, they generally have poor robot modes, and it's just a design matter, and I don't like the designs. So somebody else might love them. I don't particularly care for them. They're a little bit remolded. I didn't get to that. The headlights on Wild Ride X-Bron, I know, is different. And they have an Autobot symbol added. You know, average toys. I would rather have nicer robot modes, but you can't win. The 3-pack, I'm going to have to give a 5. While they look so much better, generally, except for us. Well, I'm going on a Stink Bomb slash Gasskunk there. He's just so much better. He's such an improvement, and he basically carries the pack. He's just nice. But while the paint jobs are good, the plastic quality is too soft, and the arms and legs pop off. For me, anyway. I've had people say that theirs don't, but mine do. And I can't review somebody else's toys, so they also get a 5 out of 10. Skybite, I give a solid 9 too. And I know that's a higher score, but he's just beautiful. And it's amazing that they did this with that toy. And it's also a shame that the original toy wasn't this nice, that it was weak and limp, and the color scheme was bad. And but I do give them credit for doing a great job with this. And otherwise, that's really it. I don't have anything else to say about these. As soon as I get the Spy Changers and other toys, I will review those. But for now, that's it.
Argon, report to me at once. Every time I look into a monitor, Brian, my circuits get a sizzling and my gristles get a grizzling. And what did you say? I said every time I look into a monitor. Oh, never mind. Circuits get a sizzling.
this week's site that doesn't suck will be very brief, because while there is a ton of content, there isn't much to say. This week's site is lexicon.tf, the Transformers Lexicon, which is the big, beautiful Transformers fanfic database. Basically, on the site, there is lots and lots of fanfic. Some from me. Not my best stuff. I doubt my best stuff would make it. But from just about everyone. Stuff ranges from comedy to serious fanfiction, from prose to script form, everything. Just right now, I'm actually going to the site. Yeah, you can know me. I'm lazy. I do no pre-work. Lexicon.tf, which is put together by Charlotte Brogdon, is, I don't know if it's the largest Transformers fanfic database there is. I know that someone said that the is it the Transfic database may be larger. Well, even if so, Lexicon is more well put together. There's a nice searchable database. There are a couple of ebooks, which is cool. There are author interviews, which I don't have one up there. There is a links index and lots of spiffy things. Looking at it right now, it looks like there are something like 540, something like fanfics there. 500 or so. Yeah, with author details and author interviews. It's pretty cool. There are also essays, and other things like that. There's a link there to add your own fanfic to the Lexicon database. And I don't know if it's implemented yet, but there, she was working on making it automatic so that you could just, cut and paste your fanfic into a form and submit it that way. But as it is now, it takes a while for your fanfic to be added because it has to be formatted and everything, and there are a lot of submissions to go through. Profane fanfics probably won't be taken, so anything I do probably will never see light of day on Lexicon again. Like I said, there's not a lot of variation in the type of content. There, it's all fanfic, or it's all text, which is cool, because most sites are all too many images, or episode downloads, or stuff like that. Episode downloads are cool, like we said last week with the Transformers Archive, but once you've seen one site with episode downloads, you've basically seen them all. Fanfic is a nice change of pace, and really, back in the day, before computers started getting so powerful, fanfic and, even screen capture, stuff like that, was the main content on websites. I remember when I first got on, I was just, when I first saw pictures from BotCon and stuff like that, you know, that someone had scanned, because a scanner was this amazing thing to me. You know, I never even considered someone putting a website online. You know, a wave sample from Transformers the movie, that was really cool. But now you can pretty much do anything. Even make your own Transformers show. And we were actually working on that for a while, but we're lazy. And it would have required so much more work than we would have put through. But I know that there are some people who are doing 3D Transformers shows, which is pretty cool. But back to the point. Back in the day, content was mostly text, and really, the best sites out there today are extensions of those sites that started, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago, and they just have had the time to build their content up. There are some very good new sites out there that have, you know, innovative content, but like I said, the majority of the stuff are older sites that, you know, for one reason or another, the webmaster is a big-name trans fan and is very dedicated to his work. or her work, or just time, you know. You know, if you build a building out of Lego, you know, you do it in 5 minutes, you have a little building. You do it in a week, you can have this big elaborate thing. I guess that's a good example of it. But either way, lexicon.tf is a good Transformers website, and you all should go there now.
Let's find the mega condenser. I'm saying that too fast. Let's find the mega condenser. Still going too fast.
What's wrong, Lion-O?
Here it is again.
What's here again?
That thing, that mega thing.
Want me to say it?
Yes!
And that's it. You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Till next week, Brian Kilby signing off. Thanks for listening.
We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.